Well, when you mention the holiday of Thanksgiving, what do you think tends to come to mind for many people in America? Possibly, you named it. Some think of turkey and stuffing, or possibly pumpkin pie and cranberry sauce. Maybe it's a day off from work where they can spend time with their family, eat a big meal, watch the Lions lose, take a nap, get up and eat some more. Maybe it's a day prior to the big power shopping trip where all the best deals can be found for Christmas. Unfortunately, sometimes now it's become the day of. How many of you have noticed that within our consumerist mindset culture, the retail world pretty much just goes right from Halloween to Christmas? The holiday of Thanksgiving seems to almost be overlooked. So even though we observe Thanksgiving every year, what does this holiday really mean to us? Does Thanksgiving really hold much value to us as a culture, or has it lost its true sense of significance? Well, this morning we're going to look at two important truths related to Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a holiday we need to value highly as followers of Christ. And secondly, Thanksgiving is not only a holiday we celebrate, it's a lifestyle God commands us to follow. And so let's begin this morning by looking at the holiday of Thanksgiving. Or if you will, I'm going to say the holy day of Thanksgiving. And see how and why it has become set apart as a significant day for us as a nation. I want to first of all look at the origin of Thanksgiving as a national holiday and how it came into existence in the United States. Unfortunately, this is not information most, if any, of our young people will read in the public school textbooks of today. So let's look at what is the origin of this day called Thanksgiving. On September 6th, 1620, the Pilgrims left Plymouth, England, with an understanding that their journey was uncertain and could be perilous. However, with purpose in their heart and trust in God's divine providence, they pursued a new world that offered both civil and religious liberties. This is important because these are battles that we're fighting in our day currently. For over 2 months, 102 passengers braved the harsh elements of the Atlantic Ocean. In late November, the Pilgrims arrived in Massachusetts and sought a suitable landing place. On December 11th, just before landing at Plymouth Rock, they signed the Mayflower Compact. This was America's first document of civil government and the first to introduce self-government. After a prayer service, the Pilgrims began building hasty shelters. However, they were unprepared for the starvation and sickness the harsh New England winter would bring, and nearly half died before the spring. Yet, persevering in prayer and assisted by helpful Indians, those who remained reaped a bountiful harvest the following summer. The grateful Pilgrims then declared a 3-day feast starting on December 13, 1621, to thank God and to celebrate with their Indian friends. While this was not the first official Thanksgiving Day celebrated in America, it was America's first festival of Thanksgiving. Pilgrim Edward Winslow described the Pilgrims' Thanksgiving in these words: "Our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent 4 men on fowling," which would be bird hunting, if you're not familiar, this is Old English now, "so that we might after a more special manner rejoice together, after we had gathered the fruit of our labors. They 4 in one day killed as much fowl as, with a little help beside, served the company almost a week. At which time, amongst other recreations, we exercised our arms, many of the Indians coming against us, and amongst the rest, their greatest king, Massasoit, with some 90 men, whom for 3 days we entertained and feasted. And they went out and killed five deer, which they brought to the plantation and bestowed on our governor and upon the captain and others. And although it be not always so plentiful as it was at this time with us, here's the words, that by the goodness of God, we are so far from want. Now, although some people associate this celebration with being the basis of our Thanksgiving Day in the United States, others emphasize that although the pilgrims were given time by Governor Bradford to rejoice together over the harvest in 1621, Governor Bradford never made a proclamation of an official day of Thanksgiving until 1623. This proclamation was due to the ending of a significant drought. Listen to this. In his manuscript, Governor Bradford writes of a drought which occurred in 1623 that lasted from the third week in May to the middle of July and caused crops to wither and some to be lost. Now you have to realize they didn't have irrigation in those days. Because of this, a solemn day, listen to this, of humiliation, humbling themselves, was established to seek ye the Lord by humble and fervent prayer in this great distress. On this day of humiliation and prayer, Bradford emphasizes that the Lord provided a gracious and speedy answer to their prayers, both by their own admiration and to that of the Indians they lived among. He states that on the morning and during the day of this solemn occasion, the weather was clear, hot, and not a sign of rain could be seen. However, toward evening, he wrote, it began to overcast, and shortly after to rain, with such sweet and gentle showers as gave them cause of rejoicing and blessing God. It came without either wind or thunder or any violence, and by degrees in that abundance, as that the earth was thoroughly wet and soaked therewith, which did so apparently revive and quicken the decayed corn and other fruits, as was wonderful to see, and made the Indians astonished to behold. And afterwards the Lord sent them such seasonable showers with interchange of fair warm weather as through his blessing caused a fruitful and liberal harvest to their no small comfort and rejoicing. For with mercy in time convenient, they also set apart a day of thanksgiving. This is the history of our nation, whether people want to believe it or not. I see so many comments about this nation being a secular nation. This was not founded as a secular nation. They are literally trying to rewrite history, folks. In light of these two different occasions, some historians emphasize that although there was a celebration of Thanksgiving in 1621, it was not considered an official day of Thanksgiving. However, there was an official proclamation for a day of Thanksgiving in 1623 to give thanks for the end of the drought. This proclamation was not an occasion for congratulations or celebration of good luck, but an occasion for prayers and praise of thanksgiving, not to each other, but to the Creator for the blessing of survival. Now, with this being said, interestingly, it wasn't until 1630 that the Massachusetts colony established for the first time the Day of Thanksgiving as an annual observance. So this is now some 7 years later. And it wasn't until 1789, so we're talking well over 150 years, following a proclamation issued by President George Washington, that America celebrated its first day of thanksgiving to God under its new constitution. President Washington's proclamation was as follows. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge, I want you to hear this. This is President George Washington. I'm going to start again. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor, and whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many single favors of Almighty God. We need a president like that. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, and that or that will be. The source of that was a man by the name of Joel Curry. That same year, 1789, the Protestant Episcopal Church, of which President George Washington was a member, announced that the first Thursday in November would become its regular day of giving thanks, unless another day be appointed by the civil authorities. I thought, what happened to separation in church and state? Right? It's church and state. Yet despite these early national proclamations, official Thanksgiving observances usually occurred only at the state level. Much of the credit to the adoption of a later annual National Thanksgiving Day may be attributed to Mrs. Sarah Joseph Hale, the editor of Gaudy's Lady's Book. For 30 years, you talk about perseverance, for 30 years she promoted the idea of a National Thanksgiving Day, contacting president after president until President Abraham Lincoln responded in 1863 by setting aside the last Thursday of November as a national day of Thanksgiving. Lincoln's original 1863 Thanksgiving proclamation came, spiritually speaking, at a pivotal point in his life. During the first week of July of that year, the Battle of Gettysburg occurred, resulting in the loss of some 60,000 Americans. 4 months later in November, Lincoln delivered his famous Gettysburg Address. It was while Lincoln was walking among the thousands of graves there at Gettysburg that he committed his life to Christ. As he explained to a friend, "When I left Springfield," which was to actually assume the presidency, "I asked the people to pray for me. I was not a Christian." This is Abraham Lincoln. We don't hear this in the textbooks. "When I buried my son, the severest trial of my life, I was not a Christian. But when I went to Gettysburg and saw the graves of thousands of our soldiers, I then and there consecrated myself to Christ." It was shortly after this point in Lincoln's life that he gave the following proclamation that eventually led to the establishment of our national Thanksgiving holiday. "The year that is drawing toward its close has been filled with blessings of fruitful years and healthful skies. These bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequal magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and to provoke their aggression, peace has been preserved with all nations, order has been maintained, the laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed everywhere, except in the theater of military conflict. While that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union, needful diversions of wealth and of strength from the field of peaceful industry to the national defense have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe has enlarged the borders of our settlements, and the mines, as well of iron and coal as of the precious metals, have yielded even more abundantly than theretofore. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the seas, and the battlefield, and the country, rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor, is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increase of freedom. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. I wish presidents would write like this today. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea, and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience. Oh, I'd like to see that prayer prayed. Commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it, as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes, to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. In testimony whereof, I have hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of the United States to be affixed. Signed, Abraham Lincoln. Over the next 75 years, presidents followed Lincoln's precedent, annually declaring a National Thanksgiving Day. Then, in 1941, permanently established the fourth day, Thursday of each, or Congress permanently established the fourth Thursday of each November as our national holiday of Thanksgiving. Now that's a rich heritage that we have as a nation. And how grievous it is that it's just overlooked and it's viewed as a day of turkey and football, when it really needs to be a day of gratitude and in our feasting of the goodness and the bounty that God still has blessed upon us in this nation. So in the same manner that our American predecessors observed Thanksgiving, our national holiday of Thanksgiving can be a significant time for us to pause each year. One, to take an inventory of what God has done in our lives and our families. Secondly, to evaluate our hearts concerning how we have responded towards God and others. You know, he did say that it was both a time of thanksgiving, but it was a time of repentance, of reflection, of the things where we had turned away from God. And it's also a time where we can give God true heartfelt thanks for all he's done. Now, with that all being said, Thanksgiving should not just be a holiday we observe once a year. According to God's word, he wants us to incorporate an attitude and a lifestyle of thanksgiving into everything we do all year long. Unfortunately, there seems to be a number of challenges that war against our being thankful. We live in a culture of great negativity, of unmet expectations. Part of it's because of the entitlement mentality that exists in our culture. We live in a culture, ironically, that seems to have more than any culture has ever known, and yet there is greater discontentment in our circumstances and in our relationships than we've ever seen. There are numerous negative influences in our culture. There are people who are regularly critical and condescending. If we allow all of these challenges to deter us, it can keep us from walking in that attitude of gratitude and in that action of giving thanks. However, God calls us to resist all of these challenges, and we all face them. We all face them. We can be so frustrated, we can be so angry, we can be so disgusted with everything, and we can just, we can either become conformed to the image of the culture, or through thanksgiving and praise, we can keep our eyes fixed on the character and nature of our God, and we can continually be conformed into His image. We do have a choice. But God calls us to resist those challenges and to follow Him and to give thanks in every area of our lives. And here's where we need to direct our thanksgiving. These presidents that we read about, they had it right. As President Lincoln stated in his proclamation, and as George Washington as well, we need to make the last Thursday in November a national holiday of thanksgiving, where we make the Lord the focus of our thanksgiving. He is the one who we come to thank. Amen? Psalm 106 verses 1 through 2 says this: Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare His praise? Psalm 100 verses 1 through 5, we're very familiar with these passages. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us. It is He, we who are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Many times we hear people say how thankful they are for the various things they've received or experienced in life. They say things like, I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful for my job, and so on. But here's where it's important to remember, there must be someone in whom we direct our thankfulness toward. See, if there is no one in whom we express our thanks to, then it's really not giving thanks, it's just being thankful, if you follow what I'm saying. See, gratitude is an attitude of the heart, but our gratitude really doesn't become thanksgiving until we express it with our words and our actions, until we give it away. We can't hold on to our thankfulness. It's got to be given away. So the goal of thanksgiving isn't just to be thankful. It's to give away the gratitude that fills our hearts. So when it comes to giving thanks for our family, for our health, for provision in our life, for protection, for the forgiveness of sin and being accepted into God's family, for comfort, for healing, and so on, the one in whom we need to give our thanks is God. So to do that, our thanksgiving will either begin with the phrase, thank you, Lord, for, and fill in the blank, or thank you, Lord, that, and fill in the blank. Now, when we say thank you, Lord, for, we're talking about something past tense. Something He's already given. Something He's already done. We're saying, thank you, Lord, for these things. But how many know there needs to be another focus on our thanksgiving? It's a faith-filled thanksgiving. It's thanking God for his promises, but it's thanking him that you will never leave me or forsake me. See, that's future projected. Thank you that I have been healed by your stripes. Thank you that I do not have any reason to fear, because your perfect love casts out all fear. So we have a faith-filled focus, which is futuristic, and we have a faith-filled focus that comes from the past of what God's already done. And our hearts need to be continually focusing on both. Because there's times when it's hard to see the forest through the trees. So we need to remember what God has done. And when we remember what he's done, and we see his example, and we see all the things that he's provided, all the things that he's helped us through, then we say, Lord, what you did before, thank you, you're going to do it again. That you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you will always meet my needs. You will always take care of me if I will walk in step with your Spirit. God, thank you for your promises. Now, sometimes our expression of thanksgiving about what God has done will also be in the context of, let's say, a family gathering, or a small group setting, or maybe a larger gathering like a worship service. During those occasions, our thanksgiving to God will involve saying something like this: I thank the Lord for, or I thank the Lord that. Because now we're talking, if you will, to one another. But we're still giving thanks to the Lord. So I want to encourage you, when you meet in your family gatherings, if you do this, and you have a time where, you know, people say, what do you want to give thanks for this year? I want to encourage you to not just say, I'm thankful for such and such. I want to encourage you to say, I'm thankful to the Lord for. Because if it wasn't for him, there would be nothing to be thankful for. And so let's not forget to include the Lord's name when we say what we're thankful for. Because if you don't, then you're just thankful. You're not giving thanks. Remember, there always has to be him connected to our thanks in order for it to be given away. Amen? Of course, this same principle does hold true in our giving thanks to people as well as the Lord. See, people don't know the gratitude that's in our heart for things they have given us or done for us either, unless we express it or show it in some manner. How often do we neglect that? I mean, I see it. And so ways that we can give our thanks away to others also is through verbal expression, written notes, appropriate hugs. I say that appropriate. But if you're truly thankful, it's going to be an appropriate hug, okay? Okay? But there is that, is there not? When somebody does something generous and grateful to you, there is just something that causes your heart to want to embrace that person, because what an expression, you know? And again, so that can be a beautiful expression. I encourage you to speak when you do that as well. But of course, gifts, acts of service, these can be ways that we can thank others, all right? But now, let's look at when and how God's Word instructs us to give thanks to the Lord, okay? Let's begin with Psalm 100 again. Number one, God's Word instructs us to enter into God's presence with thanksgiving and joined with praise. Let's look at this passage again. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Here it is. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter, that's a key word, His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. So that's thanksgiving and praise. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Now notice this passage is talking about how to enter into God's presence. Shouting for joy. Worshiping the Lord with gladness. Coming before Him with joyful songs. But the way it all begins is with thanksgiving. And then it moves into praise. Now notice there is a progression here. I believe this is because thanksgiving is related to what God has done or what He has promised to do. So it's related to God's actions, all right? However, praise is related to who God is in terms of His name and His glory, His character, qualities, and ways. So when we praise, we're saying, I praise You, God, because You are without measure, that You are faithful, that You are true. See, these are all characteristics of who God is. And because of who God is, He responds according to His own nature, and therefore He provides, or He protects, or He delivers, or He sets free, what have you. And so when we enter into His presence, though, sometimes God knows our humanness. And He knows our fallenness, right? And who do we first tend to think about in life? Me, myself, and I. And so the first thing that He commands us to do in order to get our eyes off from us and onto Him is thanksgiving for what He has done. But do you realize that when you give thanks about what He's done, it's typically still somewhat related to what He's done for you. But at least you're turning the corner and you're beginning to go, but it's You who did it. And so as we say, thank You, Lord, for what You've done in some facet of my life, then we begin to realize, but that would have never been done if it wasn't for who He is. And so we turn another corner. And now we get our eyes completely on Him and off from ourselves. Amen? And so that's why it says, enter His presence with thanksgiving. Because how many times do we go right into prayer? We bowl right into prayer and we start giving our laundry list. Lord, I'm going through this. Lord, I'm doing this. Lord, I'm doing this. And He's like, yeah, and you're going to keep going through that until you realize I'm the solution. And there's no way you're going to get past your situation until you get your eyes on Me and off of you and them circumstances you're dealing with. And so when we come before the Lord, we need to begin by lifting Him up, by thanking Him for His faithfulness, by thanking Him for His promises and what He's going to do. And because of who He is, Lord, I can trust You. I can rest in You because You are good. You are faithful. And I get my eyes off that junk and I get my eyes on the glory of God. Hallelujah. Now, there are occasions when we enter into His presence with thanksgiving and praise that it may not instantly be comfortable. Because how many of us have ever come and there's some sin that we've committed? I had to work through this in my... I tend to be very sequential in the way I view things. You know, they all have to have their everything in a row. And it always troubled me. I'm like, how can I come before God with thanksgiving and praise when I know there's some thing going on in my life that doesn't please him. I mean, it's not like I can come to him with that thing. You know, I mean, because it's wrong. And so how can I start with thanksgiving and praise when I know I can't even really get into his presence? Well, this is what I learned. This you got a picture. The Lord helped me with this. When you picture the old, the Jewish temple, notice that we read the passage. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Well, guess what? That's what you come to first before you get inside the temple, his gates and the courtyard. But what's the first thing they saw when they got inside the gates in the courtyard? The altar. Right? Symbolic of the cross. They couldn't go any further without going by the altar, or if you will, through the altar. And so if we have something in our life, if we have a sin we've been practicing, I'm saying practicing, that needs to be repented of, or we have a relationship going on where there's an offense and we have not resolved that, remember what Matthew, the book of Matthew says, that it says, if you go to the altar and you know that your brother has something against you, leave your sacrifice at the altar, go and be reconciled to your brother or sister, then come back and offer your gift. Right? So, but sometimes in life, let's be honest, we can have an offense going on, or we can ignore something in our life that we just don't want to deal with. And as long as we don't come into God's presence, we can just justify and keep on living that way, right? And keep on doing those things. But the minute, I'm telling you, the minute we start trying to thank God and praise God, I mean, the Holy Ghost comes all over you and you just start squirming because you know he ain't going to let you get away with that. And so I really believe that's why the Lord says, enter my presence. And we shouldn't be afraid of that thing. That's the Holy Spirit inside of us working in our hearts to say, listen, I don't want this thing to be between you and me. I want it out of the way because I want you to experience my presence. I created you to experience my presence. That's what we're on this planet for. Amen? And so it's not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing that we come under conviction if there's something in the way. And so, but it all begins when we come into the Lord's presence. And the way we do that is by beginning in thanksgiving and praise. This is good stuff, if I don't say so myself. It stirs my heart. I want to be honest, okay? So when we enter God's presence with thanksgiving and praise, it puts our focus on Him. It leads us to confession and repentance if there is a barrier. And therefore, thanksgiving and praise enables us to enter into God's presence freely and fully by removing any barriers that would keep us from experiencing intimacy with Him. That is so good. I mean, that's why we begin our services that way. It isn't just because, gee, that's what the church does, and we just ought to have some good music at the beginning of the service. That's why, I'm going to be honest with you, do you realize thanksgiving and praise is an act of your will? You choose that? I'm going to tell you, I'll show you how unspiritual a pastor can be. There are times we come into Sunday morning and I'm as flat can be. And I mean, and I can even be battling it. But when I come in here, it ain't... Yeah, I like good music too, don't get me wrong. I like it when you can have as many instruments and then all that power, and I pray we have all that someday. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible does say this. It says, offer a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips. There comes times where, listen, it doesn't matter what you feel. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter whether you like what's happening or you like the song or you don't like the song. You have a choice to make. I either will worship God or I will focus on myself or my circumstances. And I'm telling you, there's just some weeks you've got to crucify. You've got to put those things to death, and you've got to offer a sacrifice of praise to say, I will declare the greatness of my God. I will declare the goodness of my God, and I will worship him. And I will tell you, it's like the Bible says that God is enthroned on or inhabits the praises of his people. If you will commit to doing that, especially when you don't feel like it, you will press through, you will break through, you will all of a sudden sense a spiritual veil open up. You will come into the presence of God and that will be broken. But we have to choose to come with thanksgiving and praise. Amen? All right, the second way that the way that God tells us to come into his presence is this: to give thanks in all circumstances through prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. When we pray, notice this verse doesn't say to give thanks for all circumstances. It says, give thanks in all circumstances. It's easy to give thanks when things are going well, right? But what about when times are difficult? This passage isn't saying, listen, to give thanks for job losses or the loss of a loved one or relational conflicts and so on. It's saying give thanks in the midst of those circumstances. See, I'm not going to... That's poor theology. If we're supposed to thank God for the miserable thing that I'm going through, that's bad theology. I'm going to thank God for his goodness and that I can trust him in the midst of it. But if I thank God for it, that implies that he brought it, and that would take away from God's character and his goodness. That's bad theology. And it's rampant. God is good all the time. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal and can steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundant. And so Jesus also said, in this world you will have trouble. He didn't say, in this world I'm going to bring some things across your path to teach you something. He said, in this world, emphasis world. So therefore it's world's systems. You're in a fallen place, folks. Trouble's coming. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Amen? And so we don't thank God for the bad things that happen in life. But we'll thank him in the midst of them. We'll thank him that God, even though that loved one was lost, I thank you that I have hope that I'm going to see them again someday. Of course, them being a believer. But I thank you that I don't grieve as those who have no hope. I thank you, God, that because of Jesus, this isn't the end of the story. There's more to come. And you always have good in mind for me. Amen? And so what this passage is saying is give thanks in the midst of these kind of difficulties, even though we don't feel like it. Philippians 4, 6 through 7, I'm going to look at this passage briefly. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Notice that's always included in your requests. Or you're not going to have a a kingdom perspective. It's going to be world perspective. So with thanksgiving, and listen to this, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Notice what is produced in the heart when we come to the Lord with thanksgiving in our prayers. Peace. Peace. How many could take a good dose of peace today? Amen. I really believe that one of the reasons God instructs us to offer thanksgiving and praise, even in difficult times, is not because God needs a pick-me-up. It's because God needs us to make him feel better about himself. Right? God wants us to give him thanks and praise because he knows the weights and the troubles of this world can bring us down, and therefore we need to be lifted up. Isn't that good about God? You know, it was really interesting. When we had our code outreach, I talked with a young man, and one of the questions, he was asking me some good questions, questions I've asked before. He says, because we started talking about worshiping God and praising and thanking God, and he says, you know, doesn't that kind of sound like God's egotistical? I mean, that, you know, like, you know, like he's the big, you know, one, and he's demanding us to all worship him. I mean, I've asked that question before. Why does God need me to praise? And I was able to share that with him. That no, God doesn't do that because he's insecure. God calls us to praise him because it helps us to recognize who he is, how good he is. See, when you know the true nature and character of God, you'll want to. It's not something you have to do. It's something you want to do in your heart because you know there's the source. There's the answer for all of our lives. And so only God can lift us out of the troubles of this world. Amen? Now, that's in the hard times. I also believe God instructs us to offer him thanks in the good times. And I'm going to tell you why. It's so that we don't forget where all of our blessings come from. Because we can go through life thinking, yeah, this is great. Look at what I've done. And we can get our eyes off Jesus and we can become puffed up and proud. And that will it will get us separated from God. So God wants, it don't matter if it's in the valley or on the mountaintop. Let's give him thanks. Let's give him praise. Amen? Because he is our source and our supply. And I will tell you, we need to practice this. This year has been a very interesting year coming into the holiday season. We don't understand all things that happen in life. But this has been unusual for Dawn and me with people that we know that have lost somebody. Barb in the loss of Richard. We just did the funeral yesterday. Some of you were at the funeral. I had a very difficult thing come this week. In August, we started putting together the rally for the first Planned Parenthood rally. And I met some people from Kalamazoo. One young lady was 24 years old. She had developed the Planned Parent or the Young Professionals for Life organization. She was also doing some undercover type work. And so she was very involved and effective and a significant a part of the pro-life movement in Kalamazoo. I've been working with her and another woman. I've been meeting with them in Kalamazoo to work on developing a coalition in Kalamazoo in southwestern Michigan to try to advance the pro-life movement and see Planned Parenthood taken out of there. I just sat down with her 2 weeks ago from tomorrow. I just found out this week that she was the one that was on the pier in St. Joseph that was swept off, and they found her body on the shoreline, 24 years old. So that just happened this week. Some of you know Troy and Shasta Duffy. Troy was out west. His dad suffered either a heart attack or stroke. They're not sure. Died instantly. He and his brother and his dad always hunt together on opening day. And this year he was out west. Mike Johnson and Janice, some of you know them. They had attended here, lost his sister this past week. There's a man that Dawn and I are youth leaders when Dawn and I were saved. One of their sons just had a wife commit suicide. I know Bill had traveled down to Tennessee this when we were at Band of Brothers, lost a very close friend. It just seemed to be all over the place this year. And I'm seeing all this and the heaviness of heart. But, you know, the Lord gives us what we need when we need it. I'm so thankful that He commanded us to thank Him in these kinds of situations. I don't know what else we would do. I don't know how the world does it. I mean, they somehow pep talk themselves up, but it's such a false hope. Thank God that we don't have a false hope, that we have a living hope. And so I want to encourage you this Thanksgiving, whether you're in the valley or you're on the mountain, give thanks to God. Tell your family what you're thankful for that the Lord has done. Amen? And I'm going to close with this final passage, Colossians 3, 15 through 17. This is an admonition to us, the people of God. Let the peace of Christ, I'm going to actually use this, I don't normally do a benediction, but this is almost like a benediction. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name. We sang about that name this morning. The name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Amen. Father, we thank you today for your goodness and your mercy, for your love and your comfort. We thank you that you will never leave us or forsake us. We thank you that when we face troubles in this world, we can turn to you, and your heart is for us and not against us. And you love and are concerned about what we experience. We thank you that when we're on the mountaintop, Lord, that we can look to you and say, it is because of your faithfulness and your goodness that, Lord, I enjoy this blessing. But, Lord, wherever we find ourselves, we come to you today and in this week, and we give you thanks, we give you praise, because you are worthy, and because, God, we know that you are our answer, our hope, our joy, our life. So we thank you for all of those blessings. And, Lord, we end by declaring praise to your name. You are God Most High. There's none like you. And so we worship you and we magnify you because you are worthy. You are God from everlasting to everlasting. And our heart is to know you more. God, may that be the reality and the experience that as we come to you with thanksgiving, as we come to you as praise, reveal yourself to us that we might know you more, that we could exalt you even more so. We give you the praise and the honor today in Jesus' name. Amen.